I bet there's a good number of you that could quote this psalm this morning. Let's all stand to our feet, the 100th psalm, and maybe we can read this together. So let's all read it in unison. Psalm 100. Ready? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. Let's pray, all right? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Thanksgiving season, Lord, this beautiful time of year, where we are reminded by all of creation what a wonderful God we have. And Lord, it's good for us to be reminded. It's good for us to stop and be encouraged in this matter of being thankful. Lord, you've done, as we've just heard, you've done so much for us. And Lord, I pray that as we enter into this holiday time with all of its travel and festivities, we would not, Lord, fail to lift up our hearts to our God and truly, truly, with a thankful heart, show our appreciation to you, express that to you over the next few days. Lord, I pray that's not limited to a week or a holiday. Make us a thankful people. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. We have a Sunday school book that we have written and published here that our teachers use. And we call that Sunday school lesson book on Psalms, Key Psalms from Israel's Songbook. Key Psalms from Israel's Songbook. This may help you to understand the book of Psalms a little better, but if you live back in the days of Israel, in the days of David, when the children of Israel gathered together and someone were to say, let's get your song book, get your hymn book, and let's sing unto the Lord, I don't know if they had them printed down. I don't know if they were just memorized in their hearts. I don't think they were shown on a big screen behind the director. I don't think that was happening back then. But this is what they would sing. The book of Psalms is Israel's song book. I will tell you this, I have oft-times thought that I wish I could get in a time capsule and go back and listen to the children of Israel gather in Jerusalem on a day of festivity and surround and throng the synagogue and lift up their voices and praise the Lord. Can you imagine listening to the 100th psalm sung by the children of Israel as they gather together? It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. Perhaps in heaven we'll sing this psalm. Wouldn't that be neat? Not just to have the Israelites sing it, but to have all of the redeemed of all ages lift up their voice and sing before the throne, the 100th psalm. Let me also say this introduction. I don't know about you, but I think that this psalm, if we would let it, could play a key role in our lives in helping us to maintain and have the right kind of an attitude. I'll just be the first one to tell you, and I think probably if you're honest, you'd have to agree that, you know, we Christians having and maintaining a right attitude is sometimes a challenge. It's a challenge for born-again people to sometimes have the right attitude. And I think that this psalm sets a standard for Christians by pointing out that God deserves to see in his children and hear from his children joyful sounds, a thankful attitude, not just part of the time, not just in this season, but all of the time. Can I just, in introduction, quickly have you look at the psalm, and could I point out that this psalm, it records for us and credits God for doing so much for us. In verse number 3, it reminds us that God has created us. It is He that hath made us. In verse number 3, it reminds us that God has saved us. We are His people. In verse number 3, it reminds us that God cares for us and the sheep of His pasture. And then it goes on in verse number 5 to remind us that God has been good to us, for the Lord is good. Verse 5, God has extended mercy to us. His mercy is everlasting. And then lastly, God has extended His truth to us, and His truth endureth to all generations. So here we have a psalm that says, God, we understand You created us. Thank You, God. You saved us. Thank You. You've cared for us. Thank You. You've been good to us. Thank You. You've been merciful to us. Thank You. And You've extended Your truth to us. Thank You. Thank You, God. Thank You. And folks, God certainly has done a lot for us. And it is the right thing for us. It is a good and proper thing for us to express to Him our thanksgiving. You see, because of the wonderful things God has done for you, He deserves to see and hear the right kind of attitude from us. You know, we quote this verse, Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Is that familiar to you? Without doing any damage to Scripture, let me just say this. If the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, I imagine that the ears of the Lord are in every place, hearing both the evil and the good. And could I just stand here for a moment and remind you? Could I just come to the pulpit because I think God wants me to, and stand on His behalf and say that God deserves to hear the right kind of things from His children? I don't know about you parents, but you have all, if you've raised children for any amount of time at all, you have sometimes heard things out of your children that blessed your heart, and you've heard things out of your children that you've been ashamed of. You've heard things that have encouraged you, and you've heard things that have discouraged you. And the honest truth is, God is our Father. And I think that God ought to be able to walk by our room and hear the right kind of things from us. Let me just spend a little bit of time talking about this psalm. And I pray that you'd listen to what the Bible has to say this morning to us. Number one, God deserves to hear joyful sounds from His children. God deserves to hear joyful sounds from His children. Notice verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Notice the word joyful there. You know, like I said a moment ago, in the rearing of our children, there's sounds that I like to hear in the house, and there's sounds I didn't like to hear in the house. You know, I always thought it was good when I heard laughter in the house. Do you think that God might want to just hear from us some laughter? Let me just say this. I don't think there's anything wrong with God's people having a good time. I think the Bible recommends it. Psalm 126:1 says, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them." You know how they knew? You know how the heathen recognized that the Lord had done great things with them? Because they heard the laughter and the singing. And I think God likes to hear the laughter of Christians. I think it's a good thing for us to learn to be happy. A happy Christian is a great testimony for the Lord. You see, folks, laughter comes from a joyful heart. And the honest truth is, whether or not your doctor has written this to you on a prescription or not, it's good for your health to learn to laugh. Proverbs 15:13, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, and by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken." Proverbs 15:15, "All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." Sounds like Thanksgiving Day. Proverbs 17:22, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones." I like to hear laughter. We had a visitor come to our Christian school this week, and I was glad to finally meet him. We had a dear man. I enjoyed fellowship with him. I got to spend about 30 minutes with him. His name was Ron Renforth. He's the representative, the traveling rep in this area for Abeka. And the last 3 years he's come. I've missed him. I've always been gone when he shows up. And so he leaves material and sends me a little handwritten note. Sorry, preacher, I missed you again. So the fourth year was a charm, and I finally got to meet him. And I was down to making coffee. So I said, well, let me make you some coffee. And we had coffee, and I said, have you looked at the school? You've never been through the school? I said, well, let's go. We were on break time, and we got to interact with the kids and the staff and get to show him each of the rooms. And we got back up to my office, and he said, Pastor, let me just say this. He said, your school, it's a happy place. It's a happy place. He said, I will tell you this, I'm in Christian schools all over this country. And he said, you have no idea how impressed I am with what I just saw. He said, when I talk to your staff, he said, you'd be surprised how many times you go to a Christian school and there's this cloud of hovering over the entire school of just a tenseness. And friction. And he said, you talk to the staff and they're not very happy. They don't smile. The children aren't happy. And he said, it was fun to watch them. This is a happy place. Can I say this to you if you're not here every day? He's right. This is a happy place. It's a place where there's a lot of smile, a lot of laughter. There's a lot of schoolwork, so there are some tears. But for the most part, this is a happy place. And I said this to him, I said, you know, when I train our staff, we have staff training, I said, I guess I say the same thing every year. I said, I never in my life, I said, since 1994 when I took over the school and oversaw the school, I said, since 1994, I've never, ever met with the staff and said, now folks, what we need to do is we need to get together and pray. And what we need to do is we need to hope and cross our fingers and toes and let's just hope that when the students come in on the first day, they bring with them a good spirit, and we have a good spirit in this place. I told them, I said, I don't think followers ought to set the spirit. I think leaders ought to set the spirit. And the honest truth is, if we as a staff are what we ought to be, it's going to reflect on down. And let me just say this, folks, that's true in the church, and that's true in your home. And the honest truth is, they're the happiest homes in America ought to be Christian homes. The happiest places in the world ought to be independent fundamental Baptist churches. And I want people to come in here and feel like that a party's going on. I don't mean being silly, but I think, you know what, there ought to be laughter, there ought to be smiles, there ought to be enjoyment. Listen, this is family reunion. Every single week we get to get together. Escape the hardness and harshness of this old sinful world. This is our oasis. This is our chance to recuperate. This is our chance to heal a little bit. This is our chance to reload and ready ourselves for another week. And thank God, yes, the church is a place of tears, but it also ought to be a place of laughter. I think the Lord wants to hear that. You know, I don't mean that God's discouraged when He hears crying, if it's crying for the same right reason, but if it's self-pity, if it's whining, I don't think God enjoys it, just like you don't enjoy it either, Mom and Dad. I think God likes to hear joyful sounds. I think He likes to hear positive statements. I like to hear positive things. I mean it. You know, negative comments and critical statements damage the work of Christ and spread discord among the brothers. You say, Brother Jerry, sometimes it's just a reality. Well, I understand that, but you know what? It might be a reality that from time to time we have to deal with negative things, but it shouldn't be a lifestyle. My Bible says this, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. I like that. Put them in mind, Timothy 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. I think Proverbs 18:21 ought to remind us of something. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, but they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Boy, that's good for us. Positive statements, you see. Learn to see good in people. You know, you can just make a comment about something good just as fast as you can make a comment about something bad. Amen, church. Amen, church. Let me share this with you. If you're a negative person, you're going to raise negative children. What do they hear in your home? I mean, honestly, what will they hear this afternoon in your home? What do they hear after Sunday morning last Sunday? What do they hear last Monday after a day in God's house? What do they hear? And I think God wants to hear some positive things, and we certainly would all be helped if we would learn to just speak some positive things. And then, you know, folks, that let me just say this. By the way, I'm not trying to fix or patch up anything. I'm just preaching down through the passage here. As far as I know, everybody's happy and everybody's positive, and there's not one sad, critical person here. But let me just say this. We ought to learn a lesson from the Bible. We ought to be very careful that we just on purpose make it a point to talk about good things. Talk about positive things. You know what? Let me just announce this. There are miracles happening around here. I mean, every week there's people in our church that come up and say, "Brother Gary, you're not going to believe what happened on my route. You're not going to believe what happened at the nursing home. You're not going to believe what happened." You know that there are people, listen, there's people that are constantly coming to me with good news. You know why? Because a lot of good things are happening. And you know what? In the midst of a storm of blessings, if you're not careful, you can find the one thing that's bothersome to you, and you can focus wholly on that. You can be a spiritual sourpuss. And you can not only ruin your attitude, but ruin anybody that's near you. And so the honest truth is, I think that, this is good for Thanksgiving weekend. Let's just decide, you know what? God's going to hear more laughing than whining. God's going to hear more positive than negative from me. I mean, He did all these things for me. I mean, He created me. He saved me. He cares for me. He's been good to me. He's given me mercy, and He's given me the truth of His Word. And you know what? In return, it'd be good for the ears of the Lord from time to time to hear some good things coming out of His kids. I think that another positive thing, another joyful sound that the Lord wants to hear that from His children is encouragement. Let me just encourage every one of you to join a new ministry we're starting here. It's called the Ministry of Encouragement. So what do you have to do to join? Well, you just got to raise your right hand and you got to swear that you're going to start encouraging everybody around you instead of discouraging them. You know, one of the greatest blessings of my life, one of the most powerful, I mean it, I mean this, I wish you'd get this, one of the most powerful influences that I exert in this ministry, in this church, amongst our school, is the ministry of walking around saying good, positive, encouraging things to people that are trying to serve God. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about sincere encouragement. I'm telling you, when I walk into a learning center and I walk out of it, there ought to be some encouraged young people. Are you listening to me? There ought to be some encouraged young people. Listen, folks, encourage people that are trying to do right. Encourage people that are trying to serve God. Encourage those of them that are working so hard. God should never hear. Never hear you using your tongue to hurt others. Did you hear that verse I read a minute ago? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. I love Proverbs 31:26. It talks about the virtuous woman. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. You think about that? She passed the law. Here's the law she passed in her members. The tongue is going to be used in kindness only. That's the new law. Wow, would that bring revival? Amen. Isn't that good? Psalm 150 verse 6 says this, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Isn't that good? Encouragement to others. Listen, go out of your way to encourage your leaders. Go out of your way to encourage your peers. Honestly. Honestly. Parents, let me just give you something that will help you. The next time we have a parent-teacher conference, by the way, I asked Brother Reiser, and he said this is absolutely true of the majority. Next time you have a parent-teacher conference, would you start out just by looking at that teacher that shows up here every single day and just saying, "Thank you"? Yeah, but I got these three things that happened in the course of the first semester, and I want to make sure. Would you start just by saying, "Thank you"? Would you encourage these to come in here and work in the trenches every day? Just don't show up a couple times for a parent-teacher conference. I mean, every day they're in here. Could you just start by saying, "Thank you"? Isn't that a blessing? You know what? You could encourage the choir. Did you hear me encourage the choir a few minutes ago? You know what? I enjoy doing those things. These young ladies that sing, they did a tremendous job. I'll go out of my way to encourage. I'll go out of my way to encourage Sister Bertrand that's working with them, doing a good job with them. You know why? Because that's what Jesus would do. Amen? I mean, folks, listen to me. I'm staying on this on purpose because I want a lot of... Boy, that was a great sermon as I'm leaving the church today. Some of you aren't getting where I'm trying to get to here, you know. sometimes I just have to bluntly say it, you know. So, you know what? Some of you can encourage me, but by stop bringing up the fact that that deer I killed was blind in one eye. I mean, that would be an encouragement to me. You know, I've had threats that if I mount that head, I killed a 9-point buck Wednesday. When we got the buck and loaded it in, one of the guys opened one of the eyes and it was missing. It only had one eye. So now they're discouraging me, brother. I mean, Uncle Dale, they're not being nice to the preacher at all. So, I mean, there's rumors going around that I killed a handicapped deer, you know. Some smart aleck left on my answering machine this message. I'll tell you, boy, I'll tell you, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. This is what I hear on my answering machine. I push the button that says, yeah, this is the Department of Natural Resources. We've got a report that somebody at this address killed a blind deer that was being led through the woods by a seen ice squirrel. Now, tell me, what is encouraging about that? Amen. I think God's okay with this right now. We're laughing. We're having a good time. Even if it is at my expense, we're still having a good time here. I'm telling you, folks, there's power here. There's power here. Hey, Brother Jerry, do you have to deal with negative things? Yes. Sometimes you have to, yes. But good night. Most of the time, the honest truth is what ought to come out of our mouth is words of encouragement. And if we spend more time encouraging, maybe we wouldn't have to spend so much time fixing. You know, if all we do in life is speak up when something bad happens, if all we do is correct and we never congratulate, then you know what? Maybe somebody figures out that the way to get attention is to do the wrong. Does it make sense to you? And so, listen, folks, let's let the Lord hear something. I mean this. I think you ought to make a mental note of this. I think it would be good sometimes for us to put a tape recorder on our side and then forget it's there for a week and then sit down and fast forward through and listen to everything we say and write either put a plus sign on one side and a negative sign on the other and make little slash marks and find out, are we a positive person or are we a negative person? Because honestly, folks, in the work of God, the world's bashing us all the time. The devil's packing all the time. We've got to deal with our own flesh all the time. I mean, we don't need in God's own people beating up on each other, discouraging each other. We get enough of that from the world. Hey, can't we just be positive about what's going on in God's work? Well, this is good for us today. I think God wants to hear praises. I think God likes to hear praises. Don't you agree with that? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Complaining is the opposite of praising. Let me say that again. Complaining is the opposite of praising. I think that God's ashamed of us when we complain. Boy, us Americans, don't we have it tough? Numbers 11:1 says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. Well, we ought to underline that. And his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. You know why this judgment came to Israel and not to Egypt, the Egyptians? Because these were God's people. Shame on them. As if we have something to complain about. My goodness sakes. You see, when we complain, complaining is saying this, God's not been good to me. God's not been fair to me. Remember what I said a couple weeks ago? You better pray God's never fair with you. Well, I just want what I deserve. No, you don't. I just want what's coming to me. No, you don't. You ought to be thankful every single day that God's as merciful as He is to us. And buddy, anything this side of hell is a bonus. Buddy, a bad day on earth is better than a good day in hell if there's such a thing. Just clap your hands every day and say, God's good. I mean, find some reason to praise the Lord. Complaining angers the Lord, and you should never hear it from one of His children. Are you young people listening to me? You children listen to me. You teenagers listen to me. Some of you absolutely don't realize that you're being raised in the lap of luxury, and most of what comes out of your mouth is complaint. Shame, shame, shame! That's a wicked thing. Shame on you. You got the blessing of being in a good church and have Christian parents. You know how many of these kids that rode on a bus would give their right arm to have what you have every day, and what comes out of your mouth is a bunch of complaints? Shame on you. I mean it. That's wicked shame on you. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. The Lord hears that and it displeases Him and His anger is kindled. Shame on you. Shame on me when I do it. Good night. I ought to spend every day of my life clapping my hands and clicking my heels and saying, you know what? God's so good to me. God blesses my family. God blesses this ministry. I mean, God allows me to serve Him every day, and look at the clothes He lets me wear. And man, we got a car that starts and it goes from point A to point B. It costs more and more every time to go, but praise God, or am I complaining again? Isn't God good? God's good to us. So what this psalm is teaching us is that, hey, first of all, God would like to hear some joyful noises. Let me give you a couple other things to take home with you. Secondly, that was the longest point. Number two, God deserves to see His children serving with gladness. God deserves to hear His children or see His children serving with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Nursery workers, next time you check the schedule, don't say, oh, tonight's my nursery night. Don't say that. Go, praise God! I get to change diapers tonight. Hallelujah! I mean that. You don't mean, I do mean that. You know that if there is a bad job or the worst job in the service of God, it's still a privilege. Serve the Lord with gladness. Whatever the Lord lets you do, let Him see you do it and be glad about it. Be glad about it. Young people, you young men, I hope you understand what a privilege it is to be an usher at Bloodsville Baptist Church. I mean that. And we talked to Brother Eric and we said, I want you to use the pastor years ago. My dad said, you know, let's use the teenage boys. Let's get them involved in this. Let me tell you something. That's an honor. I thought it would be something that you join in and hook in and do with gladness and do right and do as you're trained to do and make sure you're dressed ready for it and be happy about it. Walk out, it's my night to usher. What? You get to serve the Lord. You get to serve the Lord. Amen. And so let's serve Him with gladness. Number three, God deserves to hear His children sing His praises. Now you know your preacher, and I could preach a week on this, but I won't. I think in verse number 2 we see, serve the Lord with gladness, come before His presence with singing, and I believe this with all my heart. We ought to be a singing people. And I will say this, and I mean this, to encourage you. But most of the guests and most of the guest preachers who come in this church, one of the first things out of their mouth is, boy, you got a singing church. You have a singing church. Now folks, listen to me. You know what? We can lose that reputation as fast as we got it. If we're not careful, what we do is we take a time out. We let our minds drift. We don't, with our hearts, participate during the congregational singing, and shame on us. You know, that's a time of worship, an opportunity to lift our voices to the Lord. You see, I like Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read you that verse. I think sometimes if we understood the importance of singing and what it does in the preparation of our heart for the Word of God and all the other things that it does and what it reflects about us, I think we would sing from our heart. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking and singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And it's interesting that this matter of singing is connected with Holy Spirit fullness. And I believe that if you find a Christian that is truly filled with the Spirit of God, you know what? You'll find a singing Christian. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now this is a double bonus. You find somebody that's Spirit-filled and also somebody that's been in the Bible and they're filled with the Word of God. And you know what comes out of that? Singing. A song comes out of that. And so be a singing people. Learn to sing praises unto the Lord. Let me give you this last thought because of its importance to this season, but God deserves to see a spirit of gratitude from His children. Spirit of gratitude. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Be ye thankful. Let me just give you this. I want you to think about what I'm going to say here, so listen carefully. I think there's two words that you should say many times every day. And those two words are, thank you. Now think about this. I think there's two words that you should pray many times every day. And those two words are, amen. Amen. Do you do that? Do you find yourself doing that? As you're going through the day, something happens and you just say, thank you, Lord. You're blessed with something. Thank you, Lord. I say, Brother Jerry, I pray when I eat, and I thank Him for the food. By the way, congratulations. That's important. That is huge. You know how many people sit down every single day and enjoy a meal and never even pause to utter a word of thanks to Almighty God? Boy, we're in a thankless society. I mean privately, I mean publicly. I don't think you have to get in a restaurant, get and stand up in the middle of the table and get everybody's attention and blow a trumpet and do it like the Pharisees, but I think shame on you if you won't pray publicly and thank God. But at the same time, folks, let me say this, it ought to be done privately. It ought to be in the course of the day, not just when we eat, but many, many times a day. Well, it's Thanksgiving, and I'm praying as your preacher that you have a great week. We're going to have some folks traveling. How many is going to be traveling? Would you raise your hand for the holidays? Okay. God bless you. I'm going to pray for you here at the end of the service. And a lot of you, how about this? You're not traveling, but you've got family that's going to be traveling in, whether it's short distance or long distance. You've got families coming in. All right. We need to pray, don't we? We need to pray and ask God's safety as they travel. But let's also do this. Let's take the week and let's thank God. Thank God. My goodness sakes, thank God. Let's thank God every single day. I was praying down through the prayer room. I just spotted Brother Bill English back there, and I'm praying for him and Brother Frank. They've gone through this situation where their plant closed. They lost their jobs. And I've been praying that God would give them direction as far as new employment. And you know, it seems like every time you go to the Lord with a need, if you pray for a family, and this happens, if this be true of any family in the church, all of us have needs, and as you're praying for those needs, when you get to thinking about it, also, every one of those families have some amazing thing to be thankful for. And I was praying this week, and I thought about Abigail. Praise God. If you've got kids, you've thought about it. How close we were to losing them. Well, I think I'm just going to spend some time this week praising God. I think I'm just going to spend some time this week being thankful. Folks, listen to me. Let's let God hear the right things coming from His children. Amen? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that You'd not only see what You'd like to see, but You'd hear what You'd like to hear from Your children. We've enjoyed being together today. Lord, we've laughed some. We've wept a little bit. God, we've been blessed by the music, blessed by the special music, blessed by the choir, blessed by Your Word. Lord, may we make a joyful noise unto the Lord. May we come before Your presence with singing. May we serve the Lord with gladness. I want to pray, Lord, and I want to publicly right now thank You for how good You've been to Blessed Hope Baptist Church this past year. You've been good to us financially. You've allowed us to participate in putting up a brand new building, and You've provided for that, and You've given us strength to do it, and protection and safety. You've allowed us to see many people saved. You have protected the families in this church. You have helped many of them get through heartache and difficulty. You have performed miracles in the area of healing. Lord, we just want to say thank You. And Lord, I pray as we go about our business this week and we enjoy the travel, enjoy family, enjoy the food, and enjoy all of the festivities that come with a holiday. Truly, Lord, would You make us a thankful people. We pray these things in Jesus' name.